To understand the fall, one must first understand the rise. To understand the tragedy of the Horus Heresy, one must first grasp the glory of the Great Crusade, and of unity before that. Know then that this is a record of the history of Terra, the throne world, and the cradle, and the crusade from whence it would be launched. While records of the time before the coming of the Emperor are few and fragmentary, memories and scars of old night persist, and from them much can be gleaned. Terra itself, rather aptly, serves as an example in miniature for the history of humanity. During the great and terrible Dark Age of Technology, the 8,000-year epoch between the 14th and 22nd millennia, mankind mastered the stars, with Terra serving as the capital of a first great stellar empire, built upon the back of faster-than-light travel through a parallel dimension of exotic energy known as the warp. It is not known when the collapse occurred. It is likely that no one date can ever be put on any one calamity. As with most failings of empire, the decay occurred over centuries or millennia, precipitating a cascading series of catastrophes that would humble an entire species. Over the course of M23 and M24, mankind's empire collapsed due to the onset of rampant galactic etheric disturbance, thinking machine uprisings, and the emergence of the psychic gene across humanity's gene pool. With the violent and impenetrable warp storms rendering interstellar travel and communication impossible, centralized authority collapsed. As this apparatus of empire disintegrated, millions of human worlds and systems fell into civil war, famine, destruction, or worse, invasions of warp creatures caused by the rampant and exponential outbreaks of psychers unable to channel their newfound power. Xenos races long thought subjugated resurged, enslaving or wiping out colony after colony. Bereft of outside contact, many surviving worlds simply degraded into pre-industrial levels of barbarism. Terra, long since left polluted by mankind's hunger for resources, devolved as so many of its colonies did. The homeworld was plunged into a state of constant war, further scarring its own surface, as the warlords that rose in place of the putrefied human dominion unleashed atomic, biological, and genetic weaponry upon their enemies. These petty empires would rise and fall and rise again over the course of 5,000 years. By M29, Terra was scar tissue on a planetary scale, a blasted, irradiated wasteland of reaving clans, genocidal despots, and mad sorcerer kings. All traces of civilization had been crushed under the heel of genhanced soldiers and the treads of crude, armored machines. It was at this point the Emperor of Mankind chose to reveal himself. At this point in history, he was, in many ways, a far cry from what he would later become. As blasphemous as the statement may seem, he was just another warlord vying for the ultimate goal of conquering all of Terra, a feat none had succeeded in doing since the Dark Age of Technology. Yet, a common tyrant he was not. It was clear to all who encountered him that the Emperor was something else entirely. He was, in fact, humanity's first psyker, a being of unparalleled mental power, an immortal who had shielded his existence from human sight until he judged the time for his emergence to be most apt. The Emperor set out upon a series of campaigns to unite the homeworld and crushed all who opposed him, thus destroying any enemies that would stand in the way of human progress. Resistance was, perhaps unsurprisingly, quite plentiful. These campaigns are known to history as the Unification Wars and form the foundation of the Great Crusade. While it may do some disservice to the men and women who fought in them, it is nonetheless safe to declare that the Unification Wars were primarily won through the use of the first stably genetically engineered human soldiers, the Emperor's own Thunder Warriors. The polities of Terra had, for many thousands of years, employed crude genetic enhancement to bolster their hordes, but all too often these were simply mobs of muscular grotesques or bulky uterine stock, and it was not until the genius of the Emperor's science that true superhumans would grace the killing fields of Terra. The Thunder Warriors were the perfect soldiers for this shadowed epoch, vicious, relentless, and remorseless killing machines. The Emperor needed an army of savages to conquer a savage planet, and the butchery the Thunder Warriors meted out on their enemies eclipsed the techno-barbarians they faced a hundredfold. The Emperor saw the need for augmented humanity in his galactic vision, and used the Wars of Unity as a grand testing ground. The Thunder Warriors would serve as a template for the Legiones Astartes, but it must be made abundantly clear that they were not Astartes themselves. Their design, although undoubtedly a product of the Emperor's brilliance, was altogether cruder. Organized into 20 regiments, they were said to stand even taller than the Astartes that succeeded them, and were, in fact, stronger than their Legion descendants. They were blunt instruments of destruction, tailored by the Emperor to be highly resistant to the psychic powers employed all too recklessly by his enemies. Their Mark I Thunder armor was unsophisticated but undeniably effective, much like the warriors themselves. It was, however, not enclosed and had no life support systems, making it only suitable for combat on Terra and, perhaps, certain enclosed environments on Terra's moon, Luna. The Thunder Warriors were accompanied on their campaigns by numerous other military formations raised by the Emperor from amongst his conquered lands, including the Geno 5-2 Chiliad and the Inferalti Hussars. Slowly, and at a massive cost of human life, the Emperor brought the petty kingdoms and regimes of Terra under his heel. Some came with less bloodshed than others. An early alliance with the Ural Mountain-based Terrawatt clan earned the Emperor the loyalty of the clan's Theologitex and the great boon of their advanced weaponry. The Achaemenid Empire swore timely fealty to escape the wrath of the Thunder Warriors and avoided the worst depredations of the war. The nations of Frank and Merica fell easily, but it was not so elsewhere. Albia, in the planet's northern Atlan reaches, resisted the Thunder Warriors heavily with armored soldiers and machines of their own, only to pledge loyalty to the Emperor, who appeared before them in simple robes to offer them his vision of unity. In the Caucasus, the ruling ethnarchy's eugenicists deployed their own genetically enhanced warriors, as well as enslaved psykers, to combat the armies of unity, leading to the deaths of over 10,000 Thunder Warriors and 1 million unaugmented human troops. To his conquered enemies, the Emperor would often prove surprisingly merciful, choosing to imprison deathspots such as Ulim the Red in his Himalayan prison of Kangba Mawu. That being said, the most dangerous or deranged would be executed without fail. This was the fate that would ultimately befall the tyrant of the Pan-Pacific Empire, Northend Doom, as well as Caligan of Ursh and the war-possessed priest-king of the Nordic Molalan Sen Confederacy. Throughout all the bloodshed, the Emperor was at pains to spread his imperial truth, the atheistic ideology that science is the savior of humanity and the universe is devoid of all gods or supernatural beings. The imperial truth brooked no argument, and its adaptation was fundamental to the establishment of a stable Terran regime in an age of mad demagogues, cloying superstition, and rampant ignorance. The blood price of unity was high, and the atrocities many. It was during this era that the last of Terra's oceans were drained by Kojazu, minister of the Anuatan steppes, and Cardinal Tang of the Indonesian bloc set about his pogroms to slaughter those who he deemed to be participating in inferior breeding. But despite the seemingly relentless tide of barbarism, victory was perhaps inevitable. As the war drew to a close, the Emperor began to deploy the first Astartes proto-legions, known in this era only by their individual numerical designations, to select battlefields to augment his Thunder Warrior regiments. Their individual exploits are covered in later records, but their presence deserves notation in this one, as by this stage in the war it was clear to many in the higher Imperial circles that the age of the Thunder Warriors was coming to an end. The oldest of these savages were already undergoing severe genetic degradation, and as more and more Astartes were cultivated in the Emperor's gene factories, the need for the hyper-violent Thunder Warriors were eclipsed by their altogether more stable genetic cousins. Records on just when the final battle of the Unification Wars occurred differ. There are some who place the massacre at Gajuare in Frank, where 5,000 Thunder Warriors defeated 50,000 rebels, as Unity's capstone, while others place it at the supposed purge of the remaining Thunder Warriors following the Battle of Mount Ararat. Regardless of the actual conclusion, the era of planetary war had ended on Terra circa the year 745 in M30, when the Emperor himself struck down the last church, and with it, the last priest. The last recalcitrant kingdoms, such as High Brazil, had been tamed. The Thunder Warriors passed from active service into myth, and the Emperor proclaimed Terran unity. For the first time in millennia, Terra knew peace. The Emperor was not one to rest. In the final stages of the wars, he was already formulating his plans for extraplanetary dominion. Luna was, naturally, the first to fall under his eye, at this point in history a subterranean warren of degenerate genetic cults. Terra's own geno-engineering facilities would not be able to meet the demands the upcoming crusade would place upon them, so the lunar gene forges would be vital to the Emperor's continuing success. To that end, he attempted to entreaty them into the nascent Imperium peacefully, but as more and more of his ambassadors were rebuked, prepared to take the satellite by force. When the final Imperial envoy was returned, fused with his retinue into a still screaming soup of barely recognizable human flesh, the Emperor sent his Astartes on what would be their first ever off-world deployment, undertaken by the 7th, 13th, and 16th Legions. The gene cults, including, amongst others, the famed Selinar, were rapidly and brutally pacified, unable to face this new breed of super-soldier. The occult beliefs of these lunar clans were replaced by the Imperial truth, and their laboratories quickly subsumed into the Emperor's rapidly expanding Astartes production plans. Luna was the first conquest of the new Imperium, and represents to many Imperial historians the start of the Great Crusade proper. It was at this point that the massive cosmic event that would reshape the fate of the galaxy occurred. In the depths of the warp, the entity Slaanesh was born. His 10,000-year gestation was the result of the depravity of the Eldar race and the cause of the warp storms that had cut humanity off from itself during the Age of Strife. In an instant, his birth annihilated almost the totality of the Eldar race, and the screams tore open a wound in reality known now to many as the Oculus Malefica, or Eye of Terror, as the Primarch Pertor Abo would later refer to it. The destruction of the Eldar was a boon for humanity. The conquest of Terra and the onset of the Great Crusade had coincided with the calming of the warp and opened the path for mankind to roam the stars once more. To achieve this, the Emperor would need to undertake the greatest logistical, political, and military endeavor ever attempted in the history of humanity.